Praise the Lord.
Sister Penny, it's good to have you. Praise God for you. Hope to be here today. I hope we'll see you forever. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this point.
Thy will.
Let the will of the Lord be done.
God never leaves you on your own to struggle with. God always helps. And he leads and he guides. And what God doesn't do is he doesn't tug and he doesn't pull. And when Jesus, his son, comes to the earth, he has a really monumental, that's an understatement, task of what he has to do. He has to save me.
Yes.
And if any time in your life where you've ever thought, I don't need to do anything because I'm not the cause of what I'm going through. In other words, he has to save me even though I'm not the one who sinned in the garden, but he has to save me.
Yes.
And I was born needing a Savior, so it's not because of what I've done. And it's easy to know that we aren't lost simply because of what we do, because if the reason why the reason why you're on your way to hell, or the reason why you're not saved, then you are, and if you're not saved, you are on your way to hell. You have to come to it. We don't want to talk about it, but it's reality.
Yes.
When it really comes down to it, and him saving us, if you really think about it, he has to save me because I can't save myself.
Yes.
And if it was an issue of the reason why I'm on my way to hell being because of what a despicable person I am, the reason why I'm on my way to hell is because I'm such a terrific liar, the reason why I'm lost is because I'm such a horrendous person, like, don't keep the peace with anyone. The reason why I'm on my way to hell is because I've broken, I've done everything that constituted sin, I've done it. If the reason why I'm on my way to hell is simply because of the things I've done, then I can stop doing them and save myself.
Amen, yeah.
But the reality is if you name any sin you want, it doesn't really matter, because in the church world, we only like to name about five, drinking, smoking, all those. We don't like to go into the ones, the ones about envy and jealousy and all that, because then you spot too many of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember in my organization, the first time I said to people, I know fornication is a sin, but there are way more envious people in here than there are
fornicators. Amen.
And there's a lot more jealousy in here than there is drunkenness.
Yes.
There's a whole lot more hatred in here than there is, and the list goes on. But the bottom line is, if it was this easy, if Jesus had to come and die because of what I'm doing, then God could just put me in a comatose state and I'd stop doing any of that, and I would be saved.
Yes.
But the point is, it's not an issue when Jesus comes and dies because of the things I do. The blood is to atone for the things that I do. It's for the remission of my sins.
Yes.
With S's. I need Jesus because I was born something, and what I was born was not what I was doing. I was born a sinner.
Yes.
And the problem is that sin is irreparable. It's not something that you can just wash out. You can't dance it out. You can't praise it out. You can't even pray it out. The only way to go free from sin is to die.
Amen.
The cure for sin is death.
Yes.
And you have to start all over again.
Yes, the wages of sin is
death. But we're not able to do that, so we needed someone. We needed a way. We needed a proxy. We needed a way of dying and yet living. I mean, my dilemma was I had within myself the ability to be set free from sin, but then I would be dead and eternally dead because I would have no life.
Right.
And I simply had to die. I needed a way to be free from sin and live.
Amen.
And God determined what I'll do is I can't use anyone else who was born after Adam. And regardless of what color we are, what ethnicity we are, how we speak or whatever, we all came from Adam. As a matter of fact, we all come from Noah.
Yes.
He said to us, you know, no matter what you do or what you say, every one of us being born in sin has to die his own death.
That's right.
Yes.
And pay his own penalty from sin. So no matter who would die in my place, Romans talks about this. Perhaps a good man would dare to die for some
of us. Yes.
People give their lives for all this. Yes. But you can't give me life.
Yes.
So he sent someone who had no sin in him, his only other son, who was not born of a man, die for us, the criticality of having him die in my stead because death was not due him.
Yes.
And make it so that if I would allow his death to stand for me, I would have a new life.
Yes, amen.
We talk about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, but we say that, we accept that, but we don't believe that because when times get difficult, you go through them like your old preacher, and if you went through them like your new preacher, you know you're going to be all right.
Yes, yes.
If you know, we talk about being born again, and that's good as long as things seem great, but then when we really go through enough suffering, we forget that we're born again.
Yeah.
And that we're born of the Spirit. We forget, really, the promises of God and, you know, and how the Holy Ghost comes. And then if you don't have someone whispering in your ear when you go through, even among us who are less in faith, and the Holy Ghost comes, if you don't have someone whispering in your spirit and saying to you, you're going to be all right, then you probably need to get it.
Yes, yes.
This is what sustains us. This is what stops us from being suicidal. The same things that people kill themselves over, we go through.
Amen. Yes, yes.
We just know that there is a brighter day. Someone's going to bring us up. And who's the someone? God's going to do it. Last week I was talking about, I think last week or week before, I was talking about all these complex things that we go through. And sometimes we just need God to shake up everything. And there's so many things moving around us. We just need him. We just need him to just, you know, it's beyond our scope of what we can do. And here comes the answer and the propitiation for sin. And the person who sets us free from sin, Jesus comes. And in this week when we talk about going towards Easter, as we call it, and Resurrection Sunday, then we look at his life, and as we look at his life, we need to look at ours.
Amen. Yes.
Because he comes to it more than anyone else, and I don't know if it's in the Word of God. I have never read in the Word of God where it says before Jesus comes how long his ministry is going to be.
No.
It's 3 years. But the time comes when the Holy Ghost says to him, it is time. And he starts telling him, I'm getting ready to go the way that I have to go because I have something I need to do. And I love this about Jesus because he says to them, he says, I'm not worried about what I'm going to do. He says, because the Father is with me and he's never left me alone because I do always those things to please him finally.
Yes.
I do always those things to please him. And since I'm always pleasing to God, I don't have to worry about God letting me down when I need him. If you want to be sure that God's going to be with you when you need him, please God when you...
Yeah, that's true.
And the Lord will be with you. And as Jesus goes towards this, and I've got about, not going to be long today. Never am. Jesus comes in that week. Let's look at it. He takes care of some final business. You need to take care of some final business in God. He has to establish, first of all, a church so that people will keep preaching the gospel. He has to be like God was with Abraham. God says to Abraham, I've got to make sure that you're the sort of person that will do judgment and justice, because when you start having your children and your descendants, I've got to make sure you're going to teach them the way of God. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. I've got to make sure that everybody knows the word of God and you'll pass it down. And I've got to make sure you're going to do that. So he starts teaching him that.
Yes.
He makes sure he's that sort of person. And Jesus, as he's going towards the cross, he gets all the disciples together in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and he says, I've got to make sure that this 12 that I'm depending on, that they know I'm not just a prophet, not just a good preacher, I'm not just another healer, but I am the Son of God. I've got to make sure that their minds are made up about this, because when they go out, it's not enough for them to be convinced because of any argument that anybody would give. They have to know with all their heart, this is exactly who I am, because they're going to go through a lot. When you are in God, if you're going to make it through a lot, you need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to know that Jesus lives. The way that I go through, even when I go through a funeral for a saint, and the reason why Paul says that we're supposed to look at them differently is because we know that Jesus lives.
Yeah.
If you are in a situation, when people aren't in God, then you talk about the person and you do them an honor. When people are in God, you can say, it's not a problem. I don't have to spend a lot of time honoring them today because they live.
Yes. Yes.
So in those last days that Jesus is here, he has to establish with the disciples, he's getting things in order. It's a matter of going to make sure he ties up all loose ends, and he spends his last few days with them, as you read in John the 13th chapter through the 17th chapter, 14th chapter. It's all talking about Jesus' prayer to God and Jesus' last words to them. And he has to make sure, because he's going to do what he has to do, and he has to make sure that they are grounded and rooted and they know what they're supposed to do. You know, when you step in this pulpit, be it wherever it is, this church, any church or cathedral, you need to know who you're serving.
Yes.
And you need to believe what you're preaching.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
So when he gets the disciples in order, gets them set in order, then he comes down to the last few days. And let me, where's my scripture at? What?
John 8:29.
That sounds good. Oh, yeah. I'm almost done. He never, from the time that Jesus is born to the time that he goes to the cross, never a time where the devil stops questioning him as to whether or not he's the Son of God. You see, my salvation and your salvation depends on him being the Son of God.
Yes.
It's not an issue of whether or not he can do miracles. Listen, I'm saying to all the people, I'd love to see miracles. I'm praying that Ella T'Angela gets a miracle this morning, and I'm loving the way that, I really like a healing, and I pray for people to be healed, and I pray they are, and so forth and so on. But you know what? It's not enough to love miracles. You got to love God.
Yeah, love God. Yes.
It's not enough to love the blessings. You got to love God.
Yes.
The biggest heathen in the world, when they get what they want, they win a Super Bowl or get an Oscar, they're standing up and saying, I'm giving thanks to the man above. But, that's not enough.
Yes.
You have to get to a point where you're loving God. You got to love God like you love your parents. I have children, but I hope my children don't love me simply because I gave them great Christmases. I would hope they love me because I am who I am.
Amen. Yes.
You got to get to a point where you love God, even when God is correcting you and when God is chastising you. But God is God, and you're depending on God, and you need what God has to give. And Jesus spends his time saying to them all his time to convince them, I am who God sent to save you. I am the Son of God. This is your salvation. And the devil keeps saying, are you the Son of God? And people keep saying, well, I'm not sure whether you're the Son of God or not. And some will eat the fishes and the loaves, and they're still wondering. And Jesus makes this point. It doesn't matter at this point. And it does matter, but it doesn't matter. His point is, you can believe me or not, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yes.
I'm going to go on in God. I'm going to keep preaching. If the church, this church holds 400 people, if 400 people in here believe, fine. But if nobody believes in me, I'm going to do what I'm going to do in God.
Yes. Yes.
Because I know God's reward. And you can't change. I heard somebody say that. You can't change the truth.
Yes.
You cannot. You can't,
yes,
can't alter the truth.
That's right.
And so he says in John chapter 8, and I'm almost done. And about verse number, all these verses about him and is trying to convince him in the last end about, but I'm just going to start today for 25. And they say unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, 8:25, even the same that I said unto you from the very beginning. He says, I haven't changed. I told you in the beginning I was the Son of God, and I'm him still. I have many things to say to the judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Let me say this. Men and women everywhere, whoever you are, you need to be saved. Otherwise, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're going to have to, you can settle down, find you a church that works, find you whatever needs to, a gospel church that works for you. But I'm going to tell you now, God is under no obligation to let anybody in heaven who does not believe in his son.
That's true.
That's right.
And he will not do it. Either you are saved or a sinner. I started out by saying, we're saved because of what we are. Let me tell you this, and then I will move on. All you have to do is tell one lie, and you become a liar.
Yes.
Now.
And even if you never tell Sister Curtis, that's okay. Even if you never tell another, you are a liar. No. I used to be a liar, but now I'm not. No, all you have to do is kill one person, you're a murderer.
Yes, right.
And even if you never kill another one, and even if you become saved, sanctified, full of Holy Ghost, or whatever, without the blood of Jesus, which purges you of all sins and sets you free, that's what justification is.
Right. Yes.
So then, when Adam disobeyed God, it isn't an issue of Adam just disobeying God and doing sin, because I don't see where Adam ever ate from that tree ever again.
Yeah.
And since he stopped doing what caused him to be contrary to God or transgressor against God, if it was a matter of me just stop drinking, stop carousing, stop doing all these things, I would say, I could save myself. But once you tell a lie, you're a liar. And once you kill someone, you're a murderer. And once you rob somebody, you're a robber. And even if you never do it again, you've done that, and you need God to come in and purge you and undo that.
Yes, yes.
That's what justification is.
Yes.
That's why he that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's why when the Lord sets you free from sin, you're free indeed. That's why when people come up after some time and they remind you by way of the devil, because the devil is the accuser of the brother. And I don't have a problem saying that when people come up and bring your past life, it's from the devil, because when God forgives you something, he blocks it out.
That's right.
That means he undoes it, takes it away. I remember, but God makes it not exist anymore.
Yeah.
And when you walk up to me and remind me of what I used to be 50 years ago, you had to get that from the devil, because the Holy Ghost didn't give it to you.
Amen. That's right.
He's the accuser of the brother.
Yes.
And sometimes he'll sit down and accuse you. And if you're saved and sanctified and full of Holy Ghost, you need to say to him, not only do I not do that anymore, but the Lord forgave me and washed me and blotted that out.
Yes.
And what you're trying to bring to my mind to condemn me, I'm under no condemnation, because it doesn't exist anymore. Because when God justifies me, he makes me not guilty.
Not guilty.
Because of the blood that Jesus shed. And when I ask God to forgive me, he looks upon that perfect, sinless blood, which is for the remission of my sins, and he blots it out.
Yes.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
And though it may last in the memory of men, it does not exist in heaven. God doesn't have to have a file cabinet full of all my transgressions when I get there, and people will they have this impression. I've heard him say it so many times, and it grieves me to hear him say it. Well, when you get to heaven, God's going to show all the things you've done. You're going to be something. That's not true.
No.
So what about Corinthians when it says we have to give account for the things done of our body, good and bad? It means that if you die and go to heaven and you're good with God, you give an account for that. And if you die and go to hell and you're in sin, you give account for that.
Yes, right.
Yes, yes.
Either I am in sin or I am not.
That's right.
That's clear.
That's right.
Yes.
One another.
That's one another. Yes.
Either I'm washed or I'm not. Either I believe in Christ or I don't. Either I believe in the resurrection or I don't. Either I'm sitting here trying to convince myself enough, and it's not me I'm trying to convince. Yeah, I'm trying to hope that the Holy Ghost believes I believe it, even though I don't believe it, or I do.
I do.
And He knows, and He changes me, and something comes over you called the Spirit of God that washes you, and it gives you an inner peace so that you know that you're all right with God. Say, but I still got a bottle of liquor in my liquor cabinet. No big deal. You will get rid of it.
Yes, you will.
Yes.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
If you won't stay with God.
Yes.
And God doesn't say, well, go home, get rid of the liquor, come back, and I'll save you.
No,
it doesn't work like that.
No,
He saves me first.
Yes.
Then He washes me.
Yes.
Then He cleanses me. Then He turns me around.
Yes.
Then He moves me.
Yes.
I have this soul in me that was born in sin.
Yes.
It has a way.
Yes.
Proverbs says it seems right to a man.
Yes.
Until the Holy Ghost comes in. And He
works.
I'm born not knowing how to obey God. Not knowing how to be a new preacher. Why would God hold me responsible for being a new preacher? Without ever teaching me what a new preacher is. When the Holy Ghost comes in. And He says to me, this is the way of the Lord. And then He stands back and says, now, this is what you need to do. And the Spirit stands there and waits to see if I'm going to do it. And He points out every time the goodness of God and the advantage of doing it. And it always ends up with eternal life. And He asks me the question, though, what do you want to do? And I say to Him, but I am too weak to do this. Too weak to do anything else. And He says, but I'm with you. And I'll strengthen you. And you can make it. And I said, well, how do you know that? He says, because I helped God's Son make it all the way to the cross. And I can help you.
Yes, yes.
Do you want my help or not? It amazes me that people who are always trying to help other people in this effort, but they won't let me help him. And you don't get the point. The Spirit is saying to you, but you won't let God help you. Don't you know? When God points out somebody, highlights them in my life, brings them to my mind, more times than a few, it's the mirror that's in James. And when I look at their shortcomings and flaws, the Lord expects me to see if I'm like that. He expects me to examine me and see since I can condemn them for the way they are. Am I the same?
All right now. Examine yourself.
He moves. So Jesus, on His way to the cross,
yes,
wrapping up, saving me.
Yes.
He's still answering this question that the devil keeps asking, because the devil's never going to ask you if you're saved or not. He's never. Don't y'all? Are you saved? Can't you tell I'm saved? Let me tell you. The devil's never going to stop asking you, are you saved?
Saved, yes.
And you have to make up your mind. I'm saved, and I know
saved.
That I am.
I know that I am.
Yes.
And then He's going to try you.
Yes.
He's going to say, look at that beautiful bike. And you're going to have to say, but it ain't mine.
Yes.
And I'm going to leave it where it is.
Yes.
Because I know I'm supposed to be honest before all men.
Yes.
All men.
Yes.
It's the way of the Lord.
Yes.
And he says, but you can have this mic. And you say, what is a mic compared to what God has for me?
Yes.
And you can have this life. And what is a life compared to what God has for me? Not only has, let me move out of the future and say, what I have now in God.
Yes.
Finish this verse. And they understood not in 27 that he spake with them the Father. This said Jesus to them, when ye have lifted up, the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please Him. I'm going to leave you with that scripture. And even so, as I said, it's not the one that I thought it was. The scripture I wanted was, He said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me.
Yes.
And as soon as she finds that scripture, I'll let you go home. Because He makes this comparison or this contrast between what the devil does and what He does. He says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He talks about it. Where is it at?
John 12:32.
John 12 and 32, she says. So you got to be the most unprepared preacher I've ever met in my life. Jesus said it in 30.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Father says to him, he's getting ready to go. Oh, this is a good one. Now is my soul troubled. In 27, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour.
Yes.
God glorify thy name.
Yes.
And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it. And the people therefore that stood by heard it and said it thundered. And others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. In other words, Jesus says, I didn't need to hear God tell me this. I knew it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. In other words, he says unto them, now it is time for sin to be condemned. Now comes the time.
Yes.
When all the saints are trying to do, remember in Hebrews it says, destroy him that had the power of death.
Yes. Yes.
He says, now is the time where Satan really gets cast down.
Yes.
Out of all this time, while I've been here from the time I was born and before, he's tried to destroy me.
Yeah, yeah.
He tried to destroy me in the beginning. He tried to destroy me with Moses by throwing everybody in the river. He's tried again when I was born. He had everybody killed. And he went through all that. And then ever since I've been here, they tried to stone me several times. They've been trying to stop me. He says that the devil knew that if I made it to the cross, it would be a difficult time because, you know, he knows his end. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to stop you before your victory comes. And he likes to turn you around and make you do something other than what you should do. And Jesus is coming to a closing. You're coming to a closing, which is what I was talking about all day. You're coming to a point where your victory ends.
Yes.
And each time for us is not just one victory in having eternal life. We have victories all along the way. It's like my life is not one long novel. It's one novel running in the background, but it's full of short stories. And each episode has a crisis, and each episode has a victory.
Yes.
And each time I pass, but the main character in this is me. And if any time I get to a point where the crisis overthrows me and dies, my storyline ends.
Yes.
But as long as I keep living in God, then the novel completes to the very end where the victory is.
Yes.
And Jesus says to them, he says, the devil's been trying to stop me from the very beginning. But I got news for you. If I can make it to the cross until you see him in the garden praying, not to be delivered from the cross, but I need the Father to give me the power to make it to the cross, because if I am lifted up on the cross, he says, and when I go through this, I will draw all the men to the other person. He says, I'll save everybody who needs to be saved. When I make it there, I'll save everybody who needs to be saved. If I can just follow Jesus, I'll be saved. If I can stay with the Lord, not only in the end, it's not only my eternal life, but along the way, crisis A comes, stay with God, you'll come out. Crisis B comes, stay with God, you'll come out. Crisis C comes, stay with God, you'll come out. If anywhere along the line you decide this is too difficult, I'm going to take another train, you'll be lost.
Amen. That's what it says.
He says, now that this time has come,
yes,
shall I change my mind and not go along with it?
No.
Everybody stand. When difficult times come, difficult times in the church right now, many of y'all just don't know what it's like. But I love the Lord. And it sometimes feels like, I feel like Jericho. You know what I'm saying about Jericho? Jericho was straightly shut up.
Yes.
Nothing to come in, nothing to go out. And I look at us sometimes and I say to myself, what is going on? And then the Lord will say to me, there will come a breaking.
Yes.
Another day. I said, well, what is this one about? Well, I'm living saved, I'm living holy. Why would God purify anyone unless he's going to do something greater?
Yes.
God never does anything to nothing. If you're going through something right now, it's because God is working something into you for something greater. Christ is going to the cross because out of all the miracles he ever did, there's nothing greater than the resurrection.
Yes, yes.
It will always be.
Yes.
Something greater.
Something great.
You stay with God. There's always going to be. You don't just suffer for God. You know, God just sits that playing game. Hey, let me play with this one today. That's what the devil does.
Right.
Look at Job. If you're going through, God always brings you out, not the same, but the greater.
Greater. Amen. Yes.
Everything you have in God,
yes.
You can make up your mind.
Yes.
Say it in today's terms. That's why I like the song by Tasha called He Knows My Name. You need to always say, especially when you're going through, I'm having a difficult time, but God is aware of me.
Yes, he knows.
Don't ever think you're going through anything that God doesn't know about.
Yes.
He's waiting to see whether you're going to ask him for help.
Yes.
Or you're going to try to help yourself.
Try yourself. Help yourself. Yes.
The Lord would like to know.
Yes.
I'm encouraging anybody. If you don't have the Lord, you need the Lord. You can have him right now. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Lord, for your tender mercies, O Lord. Lord, we are saved by your power and good. And Lord, the plan is yours, and the doing is yours, and the sustaining is yours, and the maintenance is yours, and the fixing is yours. Lord, you're doing all the work, and we glorify your name. Lord, we ask you to bless us today, Lord. Keep us in sound mind and heart, Lord. Lord, heal those who need to be healed. Lord, stretch forth thy hand and mercy to touch the brothers today. All those, Lord, who are sick in any way in their body. Lord, heal the elders and the gamblers. But all those, Lord, who are there tugging and pulling, oh God, Lord, strengthen yourself, oh God, in them and draw them back, oh Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, cause the fire to burn in them afresh in Jesus' name. Believers in God. Bless us in this house today and add to our number, oh God, all those who are. Have eternal life, Lord. And Lord, all those who would be saved, Lord, give them a mind to say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Wash me in the blood. Lord, I know you'll hear, and I know, Lord, you'll save me. And we'll glorify your name. Lord, stretch forth thy hand, O God. Lord, save me. Lord, who will confess their sins and say, Lord, I just want you to save me. I just want you to give me new life. Lord, I'm sure that's what you do. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give my mind and my heart. Say, Lord, I need everlasting life. Lord, have my heart, have my life. Lord, let Jesus come in. Come in, Lord. Come in, come in, come in. Come into my life. Come into my thoughts. Come into my heart, oh Lord. And save me. Lord, I'll serve you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. And we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Everybody lift your hands. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just everybody, just go with me today. Lord, save me. Thank you, Lord. For saving me. I'm so glad.
I'm saved and I know that I am.